Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn this evening to Proverbs 1 as we continue in our series in Proverbs. We come this evening to Proverbs 1 beginning in verse 8. And what we're about to read is a reminder that sometimes the way that we're able to avoid the scheme is to be able to see through it. Now, I don't want to malign car salesmen, but years ago, you know, we have a history in the Martin family. We tend to drive cars absolutely into the ground. Our joke is we don't trade them, we abandon them. And so we had one that it had been used by our family for a number of years. It was a minivan, and we've now gotten to where you can't put all six of us, even in a six-seat van. In fact, why would we want to? We drive as many vehicles as we have. To quote one of our elders, why do you bring four cars to church? The answer is because we don't have five. But if we had five, we would bring them all. But it was time to get rid of the van for people, some of them to drive their own cars, for others of us not to need so much space. And so I read an article that talked about the four squares of buying a car. And basically the four squares is this. The theory is that car salesmen try to get you confused with different pieces of information to get you to pay what they want you to pay for the car. And so those squares are the overall price of the car, the down payment, the trade-in, and then I guess the other would be the interest rate. And the thinking is that if they talk enough and they keep throwing all those different numbers at you, long and short is you'll get confused, they'll wear you down, and you'll just pay too much for the car. Well, so I read through that, and this article made a good point, said the way you can neutralize that is just buy a car outright. And so our insurance company had one of these zero interest financing things. So I contacted them. I said, this is the kind of car we're looking to buy. They said, sure, we'll give you a loan for that much. It'll be 0%. And so now I walk in down at the car dealership. I said, I want to buy this car. Now, what will you sell it to me for? And he began to try to talk the four squares. And I said, no, I just want to understand, what's the price of the car? And he said, well, how much of a down payment do you want to make? I said, from your perspective, I'm going to pay for it outright, so there's no down payment. Let's not worry about the down payment. Well, what about your trade-in? I said, that's okay. I took it to CarMax. They gave me some amount that I cannot believe it was actually worth, but they gave that amount to me. And so you don't need to worry about it. Let's come back to what is the price. Well, what do you want your payment to be? Well, that's not an issue for you because somebody else is going to get the payment. What's the price? And so, at some point, what he was left with was nothing but whether he would quote me price A or price B. At some point, you know, they always go and they get the main manager to come over and talk to you, and I could tell that I must be getting a good deal on this because he walked in and he said, would you be okay with paying $1,000 more? I said, no, I don't want to. Why would you ask me that question? And then he said, okay. And then he walked back out of the office, and we walked out with whatever car it was that we were trying to buy. And what was very helpful is understanding how is this game going to work and looking through the talking points to what's actually going on. Well, when we look at Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 8, we see that the author of Proverbs is showing us behind the scenes that on one hand, there's an offer, there's a pitch, but there's something else that's going on, and we need to see it, and we need to know it, so that we can then decide and act accordingly. And wisdom is personified here as a parent speaking to a child. Hear now the reading of God's Word beginning in verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as they who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we do pray now that you would teach us wisdom, that you would open our eyes to behold wonderful things from your word. Lord, we pray that you would do this so that we might see things as you see them, that we might think as you think, that we might act as you would have us to act in a way that gives glory to you, but Lord, in a way that you show us is also good for us. Lord, nourish our souls now from your word by the power of your Spirit. Through Christ we pray. Amen. You know, you could look at the passage that we just read in Proverbs 1 and say that this is very much a passage about peer pressure. Sometimes we think that peer pressure is this modern phenomenon, that it only came along with the advent of high schools and social media. Well, we're reminded here in Proverbs 1, peer pressure's always been around. Peer pressure was around 3,000 years ago. When this proverb was written, it was around thousands of years before that. It's been around, I'm sure, as long as people have been here. There's always been a pressure to conform culturally. There's always been a pressure to join the group or to go along with the group or to find something. And very often what we'll see as we unpack this is the offer is always presented in such a way that we're told it will benefit us, and yet it is ultimately self-destructive. And so wisdom we need to see this evening enables us to see through the sales pitch of sin. When we are wise, we're able to see through the sales pitch of sin. We're able to see it and recognize it and say, oh yeah, I get what's being promised, but that's not what's really being offered. Or I get what's being offered, but that's not really what's going to be there in the end. Wisdom enables us to see through the sales pitch of sin. And look first at verses 10 through 14. We see the sales pitch. And, you know, it's interesting, really, if you notice reading Proverbs 1 here, the metaphor is one of a gang recruiting a new member. Again, read beginning in verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. Come with us. And if you're a member of our group, well, on one hand, you'll be a member of the group. Before we blow past this, notice one of the most powerful things you can offer people is acceptance, is that they'll be received into the group. But then there will be benefits to being in the group as the offer goes on. We'll have power. We will take what we want. We will be strong. Others compared to us will be weak. The same rules won't apply to us that apply to them. We will dominate them like a roaming pack. We will take what we want. We will have wealth and spoil and enough to fill our houses. And we'll all share it together. Join us and you will belong and you will have power and you will have possessions and nothing bad will happen. That's the sales pitch. Here are all the wonderful things if you'll just throw in with us. It reminds you, I think these things have stopped. Maybe they're still coming out. I don't get them anymore. Did any of you used to get those Nigerian emails? And the email would be, my name is so-and-so, and I am from, and it would be some country in Africa, but often Nigeria, and I've just come into $100 million, but in order to access that $100 million, I've somehow got to get it transferred into a U.S. banking account, and you could help me do that. All I need is a bank routing number. And if you'll give me your bank routing number, then I'll transfer this $100 million into your bank account, and then I'll let you keep $1 million just for helping me out. All I need is your routing number. Won't cost you a thing. And look at the benefit. Now, we kind of learned to recognize that one, right? I mean, it started, you would hear on the radio and you would see on TV stories about these things, but that's always the sales pitch of folly. The sales pitch of folly is, here's all the things you can have, and it won't cost you anything. And so, throughout Proverbs, as we're going to see in coming months, sometimes the sales pitch is this: if you don't want to, just don't. Stay in bed. Sleep in. Don't show up. Blow it off. Click the link. No one will know. It's nobody's business. It won't affect anything. Sign up. Swipe the card. Hit one-click shopping and it's yours. Get in the car. Crank it up. Head out with the group. It'll be fun. It's in your head. Let it come out of your mouth. Come on. Everybody's doing it. You'll enjoy it. People will like you. You'll be empowered. Nothing bad will happen. That's the sales pitch. Here it is. You can have it if you'll just join in. What sin doesn't show you is the fine print. And so look at the fine print, picking up in verses 15. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. So you see, the first wisdom says, look, that offer is evil. That offer is wicked before God. But then it doesn't just stop there. It's not, and I think this is what we think sometimes, is, well, sin will be fun now and there won't be any consequences in this life. Wisdom says that's foolish to think that way. Again, if you look at verse 17, indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird. Even an animal understands when it sees a trap. A bird sees a net. And think about it, even a bird gets it. I mean, birds are stupid. You know, I've got this large plate glass window in my den. There have been times when I've been sitting there trying to watch I don't guess I'd be watching a TV show in the daytime, but sitting there trying to read or doing something, I start to hear this banging against the window. Years ago, there was this cardinal that would just bang into my window. Then go sit in the fig tree, then bang back into my window, then sit in the fig tree. I mean, just a dumb bird. It would fly into its reflection over and over again, or try to fight with its reflection over and over again. But even a bird, the author of Hebrews says, sees the net and avoids it. You know, even a line-wary trout will see the leader and avoid it. An animal can see a trap and recognize, I don't need to go there. And it shows you the folly, it shows you the irrationality and even the stupidity of sin. But it's more than that, and what Proverbs shows you, again, look here at verses 11 and 12, and then further down in verses 18 and 19. In verses 11 and 12, look at all the offers. Let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even alive or even whole as those who go down to the pit. But then in verses 18 and 19, they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the lives of its possessors. You see, wisdom shows you the fine print. There's this offer of wealth and of success and of power and of dominion and even of life. And what wisdom shows you is, no, this is ultimately the way of self-destruction. There's a sales pitch, but there's fine print. Sin promises you, but then the sin that promises you will also destroy you. Have you ever heard there was actually a medication that was invented in the middle part of the last century? It was called Pervitin or Pervitin, and it was developed by the Germans. And the Germans came up with this medication because they could give it to their panzer tank commanders. And why did they do that? Well, it would actually speed up their thinking. It would make them more alert, more clear-headed, more focused. It would also increase their confidence and their endurance. They could function longer without sleep and go longer without food, which meant they didn't even have to stop for bathroom breaks as often. I mean, they were quick-thinking, hard-charging, clear-headed, energetic panzer tank commanders. Would you like to have a medication like that? You actually can. We call it by a different name today. Methamphetamine. They called them tanker chocolates so that they could execute their lightning war, their blitzkrieg throughout Europe. Of course, what we know now is it increased blood pressure, and when you ran like that for a period of time without sleep, you became paranoid and were prone to rage before you crashed. There was a promise that the Germans learned very painfully that it didn't work the way they had thought or hoped that it would. Well, wisdom enables us to see through the sales pitch of sin to what will really happen. So again, we can see the sales pitch, but then where it ultimately leads. Take it easy, and poverty will decimate you. Click and look, and you'll want more. And then you'll begin to objectify people, and then you'll become withdrawn and consumed and tormented. Buy it, and it won't satisfy. You'll want more. And you'll eventually one day be broke and unable to keep up even with the interest on the payments. Go to the party, do what everybody else is doing, and you will humiliate yourself, and you will be used and discarded and ashamed. That's the fine print. That's what sin and folly never shows us, and yet wisdom enables us to see the fine print behind the offer. And of course, when we look at the Proverbs from a Christian perspective, we realize it's all the more reason that we need Christ. Christ came into a world full of folly, into a world in which we all, by our very nature from birth, are born fools. And He endured our folly. And even the violence and the brutality that we see depicted here in this passage in Proverbs, He endured all of that to atone for our sin and deliver us from its bondage so that we wouldn't be fools anymore. But He didn't just save us for the life of the age to come. His desire is that we would be wise now. And so the Word of Christ instructs us. It enables us to see through the sales pitch of sin that we might walk wisely before Him. And so if there's this sales pitch and there is this fine print, what is the secure path? Look at verse 15. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. Basically, what verse 15 says is, get away. When it becomes clear to you that their heart is to run after their folly, steer clear. And listen in verses 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Now, interestingly, the way that wisdom is personified here is the teaching of a father and a mother. Now, one thing to note, real quick tangent, sometimes people look at Christianity as having a low view of women, but in the ancient world, to speak of the father and the mother offering instruction would be very unusual. That would be largely unheard of. And so what you see here in the Scriptures is there is this picture of the father and the mother both instructing in wisdom. But at the same time, in some ways here, we have a father and these parents, this father and mother, they are not so much real as they are ideal. In other words, they are a personification of wisdom giving instruction. But, let me add one more thing to that, God does use His Word and those who will admonish us according to His Word. Whether that's our own natural parents, or whether that is those that we might call spiritual parents, others that we know in the church. God uses His Word and those who will admonish us according to His Word, those who love Christ and who love you and who will counsel you from His Word. And so what is the secure path? The secure path is to steer clear of the path of those bent on their sin and to listen to the Word of God and those who will counsel you from His Word among His people. So again, verse 15, when it's clear that that's their path, you need to not walk in their path. Someone said, it's true that we are by nature creatures of imitation. You're not just judged by the company you keep, you're influenced by the company you keep. And so one commentator said it this way, "Be kind, but take not every man into your heart." Be kind. I mean, don't be hateful or rude to people. But don't take everybody into your heart. Some people are bent on the path of folly and of sin. And if you really love Christ and you're seeking after Him, you're not going to want to take everybody into your heart. If you really love Christ and your desire more than anything else is to walk with Him, you're going to want to be near people who have the same heart. Whether that's friends or the people that you date. Now sometimes we might not share all the same, I'm just going to say, natural interests with those people. Just like people in military units might, one guy might be from the Bronx and somebody else a hillbilly from Tennessee. If you're from Tennessee, no offense, there are hillbillies all over the place. But they're from a different background. They grew up in a different culture, but they're united and they have friendship and fellowship because they have a common purpose. Well, you need to be around people who have a common purpose, a common end. To glorify God, as Peter reminded us earlier this evening, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And so you need to listen to the wisdom of the Word of God, but you also need to surround yourself with those who will counsel you from the wisdom of the Word of God. That might be, again, your parents. It might be friends. It might be spiritual parents who want your best, who've perhaps been down some of the same roads that you're contemplating or having to walk down at the moment. They've been down those roads or they've seen other people go down those roads and they have years of wisdom and years of time in the Scripture, and they're able to counsel you from the Word of God. We need to listen to wisdom, whether it is the wisdom of God's Word itself or the wisdom that God gives through those that point us to His Word. But we need wisdom because it enables us to see through what's offered to what really is. Wisdom enables us to see through the sales pitch of sin. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you know our hearts. Lord, we confess that we come into this world fools, that it is bound up in the heart of a child, that it is what we would all be and what we would seek apart from your saving grace in Christ. And so we pray now, Father, that you would continue to search our hearts, that you would continue to counsel us, that we might see our sin and need and run to Christ. But also, Lord, that we might be instructed in how to now walk wisely with Christ. And Lord, impress upon us continually that such wisdom, that such a walk is for our good. Forgive us, Lord, when we know that folly is wrong, but we think it would be pleasant. Lord, work in us hearts that see all things as you see them, that we might reject the path of sinners, that we might rejoice to walk increasingly in the way of life. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, let's take our hymnals and sing together hymn number 551. Of course, this is a song or a psalm in our hymnal that shows the blessing of being forgiven of sin and delivered from sin. And so it's very appropriate as we prepare to come to the Lord's table. We'll stand together and sing stanzas 1 through 3 of hymn number 551. Thank you.